soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Uribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Dynamo coming off a huge 4-0 victory over LAFC. Got a fantastic fourth goal from Franco Escobar. The Dynamo will play LAFC tomorrow right here on this station, ESPN 97.5. Join us for the call of that one. And we've got the goal scorer here right now. He is Franco Escobar. Franco, gracias. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Muchas gracias, Glenn. Nice to meet you. Muy contento por el gol.
Thank you very much for coming on. Well, first of all, just take us through the great goal against LAFC. Of course, it's your former team. Hits the underside of the crossbar. I mean, this had a lot of wow factor to it.
Ya cuando lo vi a Héctor que me vio, ya vi el pase y en mi cabeza siempre estuvo controlar y patear. Sabía que John iba a estar un poquito adelantado y después, bueno, la verdad tuve suerte que bajó justo la pelota y convertí, fue un lindo gol. Lástima fue contra mi ex equipo, que ya desde acá le pido disculpas por gritarle un poquito, por festejarlo, pero bueno, ese gol no sé si lo vuelvo a hacer en mi vida, así que nada, muy, muy contento por eso.
Glenn, I made eye contact with Hector and I just knew the ball was coming my way. So when the ball was in the air, I knew that I just had to bring it down and I had every intention of shooting. There was a little bit of luck there that it dipped right as it did and it hit and got to the back of the net, but definitely one of those things that sticks with you, one of those goals that you take with you when you look back at your career. Now, I definitely did enjoy celebrating it, and I kind of want to apologize to LAFC, my former team, in the sense of you don't traditionally celebrate a goal like that, but I may never score a goal like that ever again. So I just really enjoyed it.
He's Franco Escobar, played at Newell's Old Boys in Argentina, won an MLS Cup with Atlanta United, and a big thanks here to Edgar Valise of the Houston Dynamo for doing the translation. So, Franco, I know people will say, well, you know, I'm not really, it's not about me trying to get back at my other team, but there has to be something in professional players that to score a goal like that against your former team, it does feel good and validate something, right?
Sí, 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 fue lindo. Después mis antiguos compañeros, cuando tuvimos el partido, charlamos y decía, no puede ser que nos haga este gol justo a nosotros, que haga el primer gol que hace en Houston, nos haces este gol a nosotros, un muy lindo gol. Pero sí, la satisfacción de meter un gol así, de también de contribuir al equipo, de poder marcar mi primer gol. Y ante un equipo muy importante, creo yo el mejor equipo de la liga, necesitábamos ese triunfo. Y nada, ahora disfrutar, que bueno, eso ya pasó y ahora mañana tenemos un partido muy importante de vuelta contra ellos.
Glenn, overall, I was able to catch up with some of my old teammates and they were asking why I had to wait for this game to score a goal, the first one for the team. Now, overall, I mean, we needed this victory. We definitely needed the 3 points. So in the big picture, you know, it contributed to a result that we needed. And now we gear up and prepare for the next one, which is against the same team here tomorrow.
He's Dynamo defender Franco Escobar. You saw him score that spectacular goal, and you might have heard it even here on ESPN 97.5. Franco, everybody respects me personally, the fight, the spirit of the Argentine in football and the passion. Tell me where that all comes from, because we see it in your play. It's something that is very attractive and it's something that MLS certainly loves.
Bueno, en Argentina el fútbol es todo. Es desde chico. Es quizás lo que es un poco acá el básquet, que los chicos lo juegan en la calle, lo juegan en todos lados. En Argentina es lo mismo, en Argentina desde chiquito ya salís a la calle, a la puerta de tu casa a jugar al fútbol con tus amigos y ya eso es la naturaleza del argentino, el fútbol, es lo que más pasión tiene el país, lo que más le apasiona a todo el país y bueno, yo amo este deporte y nada, yo siempre jugué de la misma manera, me entrego al máximo en cada partido, en cada equipo con el que me toca defender, es mi esencia. Y nada, creo que ese es el espíritu del argentino y de lo que vive uno o lo que siente uno por este deporte.
Glenn, here in the U.S., I think it's pretty common to see, you know, just kids playing outside, playing basketball out on the street. Pretty common, and maybe that's how they develop that relationship with that sport. But back home in Argentina, it's the same thing, but with soccer. It's something that's ingrained from a young age, something that you just grow up with. And I think that that passion is felt throughout the entire country. You know, it's definitely something that I feel, something that you saw on display when I'm on the field. And it's part of who I am. It's part of why I play the game the way I play and why you might be able to see that passion game in and game out when I'm on the field.
He's Franco Escobar. Franco, do you get a lot of people calling you, other players from there, asking you about MLS or saying, hey, I want to come to MLS, help me get to MLS?
Sí. Muchísimo ex compañeros míos siempre me mandan un mensajito. Fíjate si puedo ir, tiró un mensajito a ver si necesitan tal de tal posición. Y sí, la verdad, los amigos que tengo en Argentina o que quizás no están jugando en Argentina, están jugando en otro lado, les gustaría venir para acá porque la verdad es una liga muy, muy atractiva y en la que cada vez más y más y más jugadores quieren participar.
Definitely, Glenn, I definitely get a lot of messages from old teammates, just friends that are inquiring about the league, that are interested, have seen the growth of this league. And as somebody who's been in here for a few years now, I see why. I mean, this league is definitely on the come up. This is a destination league in that it gives you, you know, a different quality of life that you might not be able to find elsewhere. And, you know, it's hard to put a price on that.
Franco, how important is the lifestyle piece of it when choosing Major League Soccer and coming to this league from Argentina?
No, eso es muy importante. Yo, si bien no tengo familia, pero creo que a compañeros que tienen familia, hijos, eso también es un factor muy importante al tomar una decisión, pero obviamente la calidad de vida acá en Estados Unidos es de lo mejor que puedes encontrar en el mundo. Si bien uno extraña sus seres queridos, sus afectos que están lejos, pero si mirás un poquito más allá, vivir acá y tener esa calidad de vida, centrarte solamente en jugar al fútbol, en disfrutar de esto, es lo mejor.
Definitely very important, Glenn, in the sense of everyone has a different view on it. I mean, for me, it's a little different where I don't have, you know, family, kids, but my teammates, they do. That plays a big role in their decision to come over to the U.S. and, you know, how they navigate their arrival here now. The quality of life here is just unmatched, I think, when you compare it to other countries around the world. So that definitely plays a big role. It is challenging because, I mean, you're separated from your family, your loved ones who are back home. But you do this for a few years so that they could also enjoy it and they could join you as well.
How important was Newell's Old Boys? I mean, we know in this country what a great developer of young talent and young players that Newell's Old Boys is. How important was it being a part of that club from the perspective of being a young soccer player?
Todo, porque yo arranqué desde los 12 años hasta ir a Atlanta, que Atlanta me llevó el Tata Martino, que es un ex Newell's Old Boy también, y nada, para mí Newell es todo, me dio la posibilidad de cumplir mi sueño de ser jugador de fútbol, me ayudó a crecer como ser humano, como futbolista, aprendí muchísimo, me fui muy chico, la verdad. Cuando volví en el 2021 no me fue de la mejor manera, tuve dos lesiones que no me permitieron jugar mucho, pero desde tengo muchísimos amigos, todos los partidos los sigo desde que estuve lejos y es de lo más importante que me pasó como profesional pasar por Newell's, conocí muchísimas personas, hice muchísimas amistades y en mi vida profesional le voy a estar eternamente agradecido a cómo me formó y a lo que me dio.
Glenn, this club gave me everything. It gave me my start. I was there since I was 12. That's where the first interaction where I had with Tata, who eventually, you know, connected in Atlanta. So it was definitely a space where I was able to grow as a human. I did have to leave or had to leave at a young age. So it prepared me for that. Faced a variety of challenges kind of through the transition, but faced some of those similar challenges when I was adapting to kind of how everything was navigated over there. And it just helped me grow into the professional that I am. I was able to go back there in 2021, face a few challenges just due to injury, didn't get to play as much as I would have wanted to, but overall, a lot of great memories from my time there, both as a kid, later on as a professional, and it's a team that I keep following, a team that I watch regularly, and somewhere where I have a lot of close friends and made a lot of meaningful relationships.
Franco Escobar, Dynamo defender, joining us, hit that spectacular fourth goal against LAFC in the home win. Franco, if I take you into Tata Martino, what makes him so special as a manager for you?
Creo que es la sencillez con la que te plantea los partidos. A mí siempre me sorprendió que antes de cada partido nos decía exactamente lo que iba a pasar, lo que iba a hacer el rival, y pasaba. Lo teníamos que atacar por ahí, y cuando lo atacábamos por ahí le hacíamos daño, nos van a hacer daño por este lado, y si no defendíamos esa jugada nos hacían daño por ese lado. Eso era impresionante. Y después, otra cosa que tenía el Tata y todo su cuerpo técnico era el tacto que tenía con el futbolista, que sabía cuando necesitábamos algo, cuando necesitábamos acelerar, cuando necesitábamos descansar. Era algo impresionante y fue el mejor entrenador que tuve en mi carrera.
I think I'll start with just noting how simple he can make everything for the players. He can take a very complex topic and just make it very relatable, understandable, just digestible for the entire team. I think his ability to read the game is incredible. Both him and his staff have a way of being able to anticipate and kind of see the game before it even kicks off at times. It's just incredible the attention to detail and how they can anticipate what to expect from a rival. I think overall, when I look at everyone I've worked with, I can definitely say that he's probably the best manager I've ever played for.
In this era with data and all these other things that are used in football, is it important for the manager to be very clear and concise in instruction and keeping it simplified, maybe?
No, yo soy más de la vieja escuela, más de lo simple, pero creo que los entrenadores tienen que, la tecnología los ayuda muchísimo también por el tema de las lesiones, de saber cómo manejar los ritmos. Pero creo que los entrenadores que adaptan un poco los dos, la vieja escuela, lo que sienten ellos también, y no dejarse llevar tanto por los números, por si uno corrió tanto, si corrió menos, creo que eso es lo que hacen los buenos entrenadores, y también a lo que el futbolista está acostumbrado y le gusta, un poco más lo simple, si bien la tecnología es importante y cada vez avanza más, pero creo que en el fútbol, como se dice, ya está todo inventado, y solamente queda hacer las cosas bien en los entrenamientos, preparar bien los partidos y después, nada, que el entrenador haga a veces las cosas simples.
Glenn, I'm definitely more old school. I think I appreciate maybe what you see through the eye, right? What you see on the training field, the effort, everything that kind of goes into that. Now, not to say that technology doesn't play a role. I mean, you need that. You see the advances in medicine and other aspects and how it tracks other parts of the game. But for me, I mean, I like to keep it simple, and I relate to individuals who can navigate that with me. So there's an old saying that, you know, soccer is already invented. You just have to go about it the right way. So that's my approach. I just want to go about it the right way, make sure that I'm in a good spot to perform. And I feel like I've been able to do that here recently.
How difficult is it to play on the right side, switch to the left side, maybe center back, you know, being that versatile? It's got to be challenging sometimes, especially in the outside back position.
No, mi posición natural es marcador central, y después, bueno, fui pasando a lateral por derecha. Y bueno, este año me tocó jugar varios partidos de lateral por izquierda que me fui sintiendo cómodo. Y bueno, también me sirve para adaptar una nueva posición. Para mí, me sirve para cuando el entrenador me necesite en esa posición estar preparado, pero nada, me gusta jugar, poder tener variantes de posición para también para ayudar al equipo, para cuando me necesiten en cualquier posición poder estar, poder ser una opción de entrenador, y es muy importante para mí, para mí como jugador, tener esa variabilidad de posiciones y también ser importante para el entrenador si me necesita.
Naturally, Glenn, I'm a center back. I've played most of my career here just as an outside back and on different sides of the field, and definitely helps me learn and kind of adapt to different, I guess, requirements, kind of roles that come with those roles, just because as a center back compared to outside back, you're not pushing up as high typically. And I have some of that freedom here when I can go higher. I think, you know, it makes me an asset. Definitely one of those things where the coach knows they can count on me to play any of those four roles as needed, and we've definitely seen that this year.
Franco, I wanted to ask you about the difference, and I know you've probably gotten this question before, the difference between the road right now, which is a problem for the Dynamo, and then at home, which is not a problem for the Dynamo.
Sí, nosotros también sabemos que es nuestra cuenta pendiente de sacar puntos de visitante, ganar de visitante, es lo que necesitamos. Creo que de locales somos un equipo muy fuerte, que el único partido que perdimos fue un partido que nos quedamos con 9 jugadores y lo perdimos sobre el final. Si bien algunos partidos de visitante quizás podríamos habernos llevado algún otro punto, sabemos que es nuestro punto flaco de nuestro equipo, no traernos 3 puntos a Houston, que creo que va a ser importante, porque una vez que podamos empezar a sacar puntos visitantes, el equipo está teniendo un rendimiento bueno como para no sufrir para entrar a los playoffs. Y nada, necesitamos sí o sí empezar a ganar de visitante, y nada, creo que pasa un poco por la cabeza nuestra de creérnosla más, de hacer lo que hacemos de local, de tratar de ser protagonista, tratar de salir a atacar, de creernos que somos, que tenemos un buen equipo como para salir y plantarnos en cualquier cancha, y es cuestión de cambiar la cabeza. Ya cambió con Chicago, que ganamos un gran partido, le ganamos a Los Ángeles, que como te dije, para mí son el mejor equipo, y bueno, ahora tenemos de vuelta un partido muy importante visitante, donde una victoria sería importantísimo ya para la confianza del equipo, pero sabemos que tenemos que mejorar como visitante.
Claro, we definitely know that that's an aspect we need to work on. We know we have to win on the road. We've left points on the table compared to, you know, our performances at home. Just two different sides to the coin there. But we owe it to the fans. We owe it to ourselves. I think once we can do that, once we can earn a victory on the road, it'll help in terms of just building confidence, building a cushion so that we can kind of keep inching towards the top spots on the table and kind of get closer to securing a berth to the postseason. I think we saw some success recently in Chicago. And, you know, our approach there was very similar to how we've done it elsewhere, in the sense of we go out, we want to be protagonists, we want to play with the ball, we want to go forward. And I think that will be key for how we approach this upcoming game, because it's another important one and another opportunity to kind of pay that debt that we owe both to ourselves and to the fans.
Houston Dynamo defender Franco Escobar played at Newell's Old Boys in Argentina. Dynamo against LAFC tomorrow night. You can hear it right here on ESPN 97.5. Franco, you know I wasn't going to let you go without asking you about the next question. And the next question is, what does it mean to you as an Argentine, a guy you know so well, Lionel Messi, coming to Major League Soccer to play now?
No, yo feliz de la vida de poder competir en la misma liga que él. Como argentino lo amamos, es el máximo ídolo de, creo que, casi todos los argentinos. Y bueno, creo que le va a venir muy bien a la liga. Esperemos que sea lo que el saltito que quizás le faltaba a la liga para terminar de asentarse como una de las mejores ligas, y una liga que está creciendo muchísimo. Y bueno, ojalá tener la oportunidad de cruzarlo, pero bueno, sabemos que es difícil. Ojalá sea en una final, pero como personalmente muy, muy contento de que él pueda venir a esta liga y la pueda disfrutar también.
Over the moon, Glenn, to be able to just have him in the league, to have that opportunity to potentially play against him here in MLS. As an Argentine, I mean, we all love him for what he's been able to do for the country, for what he means, for what he represents, for being, you know, one of our own. So excited that he's coming to the league. Personally, you know, looking forward to the possibility that we could cross paths at some point. I think he's coming to a league that's grown quite a bit, even since I've been here. So I anticipate that with his arrival and just his time here, we'll just continue to see the league take off.
Franco Escobar joining us, and we're going to wrap it up here. Franco, this is a big, important question. Maybe not as big as the Messi question, but it's important. Have you found a good Argentine steakhouse in Houston?
Sí, obvio. Patagonia.
Ah, my friend Sebastian Abraham. Patagonia. Yes.
Muy bueno. Very
Muy
good.
Bueno. Franco, thank you very much for coming on tonight. We appreciate it, and I really appreciate the great interview, and thank you very much.
Man, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and your English, muy bueno.
No,
mejor de mi español. Mejor de mi español.
No, muy bien tu español. I need to learn more English.
You will. Thank you, Franco.
Thank you.
All right, that does it. Franco Escobar, great stuff there. Dynamo against LAFC tomorrow. This interview brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 512. Call now. You got it. Long as it pleases you.
ESPN 97.5.com. One of these guys cheats at fishing.
We got weights and fish.
There we go.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I do remind you, tomorrow night we have the Houston Dynamo at LAFC. So the Dynamo, after a 4-0 victory over them, will go out to Los Angeles. LAFC is missing a ton of players due to international call-up, including about four or five starters. So that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on and see how the Dynamo kind of tag that amazing home 4-0 victory over LAFC. Keeping it to MLS here, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, daspitlaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. They are bilingual, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And also remind you, subscribe to the podcast of Soccer Matters, both here and in Austin, on Spotify, Apple, and Google. All right, speaking of Austin, where I have a show on the horn, since we know that coming up soon, the Dynamo will take on Austin FC again, want to take you into some Austin FC talk. My next guest, Michael LaHood, played in Major League Soccer, has been an analyst for Austin FC. He joins me now. Michael, thank you, as always, for coming on the show. It's great to catch up.
Glenn, it's been too long. It feels good to be on the show again.
All right, we're going to get into some good conversation here and go deep on Austin FC. So let's just start with this. We all knew this was going to be a different year, right? I mean, last year, the bar, miraculous bar set. The comebacks, the quality of play, the Driussi MVP performance of the year. Now you get you reap the benefits of success. You're in CONCACAF Champions League. You don't get a good start. Maybe just take me into your perception of how this season started and maybe tie it into where the team is now.
What a difference a year makes. It's the old cliche of sports. It's the old cliche of football or soccer, whichever one you call it. I think I've had a bit of an influence from the UEFA Champions League that we were talking about over the recent weekend. But this is an Austin FC team that is earning the best game from each team. It's what you get when you've gone and you did what you did last year in getting to a Western Conference Championship. But if you look at the makeup of how they did it towards the end, it was through comebacks. It was through grinding out results. And too often, I think it was going behind a goal. When you look at the playoffs, the Real Salt Lake game, they're down 2-0. And if it wasn't for Sebastian Driussi heroics, yet again, putting the S on his chest to get the team out of a hole and a handball laid on Brad Stuver coming up, then maybe this fabled tale of last year stops a few games short. But they did the business last year. Now this is this year. What I've seen a difference in is a change of formation. Last year was a 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3. And when you came into the first game of the seasons, you had this 4-3-3 back three sort of hybrid thing where it turns into a 3-5-2. And it seems like there's a bit of confusion with the team and players still figuring out where their best fit is in this new system that Josh Wolf has implemented. I'd like to see them get back to what they did last year, which is the predictability of, you know, Driussi is going to be in the midfield in that 4-3-3 on the left. Alex Ring has played center back more than he's played midfield. That has been a massive influence on the team in terms of not being as dynamic going forward as well.
So injuries obviously have played a part. Individual performance, I think we have to go there. The press and things like that don't seem as sharp to me. They don't seem as collective. They don't seem as sharp to me. It's a 4-1 loss to Sporting, 12th out of 14th in the West. Yet you're only 1 point out of the playoff spot. Okay, this is Major League Soccer. You got a lot of time to fix things. Are you buying into this whole thing of the accountability of Josh Wolf to what you just said about tactics and the hashtag Josh Wolf out, like, you know, all the fans are saying, which, by the way, they said in year one.
Yeah, I think it's too early for that. The team is not rooted at the bottom of Major League Soccer. And you've been in this business. You've seen it. I've seen it as a player. Is in Major League Soccer, it's the summer months where you really have to start kicking on. If you're not getting results and it's late July or early August or late August, then the panic buttons can really start. But one win, as long as you keep yourself competitive and you're Austin FC, keeping yourself competitive in that playoff zone, and then hopefully you kick into form to finish the last 2 months, I think that could be recipes for success. But the inconsistencies, that's what worries me this season. You've had some positive results. The big win in Seattle comes to mind. Yassi Zardes coming off the mark, getting him going. And that happened with Sebastian Driussi on the sidelines with the injuries. And I go back to some of the depth and depth strength in numbers that was so heralded last year in the likes of a Moussa Djite. I think his absence is being very noticed and notable in the Austin FC ranks and in the attack right now. A player that I wish would have stayed and for personal reason isn't with the team. But all can be righted when you look at the schedule ahead, two rivalry matches against the likes of FC Dallas and Houston Dynamo FC, who you know very well. They haven't gotten it right so far against rivals, but no better games than to get results against rivals. You don't even have to get the win. Just get results. Be a difficult team to play against, and I think that can spark some confidence.
Talking to Michael LaHood, former Major League Soccer player here on the Horn in Austin, Texas, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. All right, I want to go over just individual performance because I think there's a lot to bite off here. First of all, Diego Fagundes is a shadow of what he was last year. I mean, he was one of the best attacking players in Major League Soccer. What seems to be going on there? I've heard a ton of things. Lack of fitness coming in preseason. Something between him and the coach, Josh Wolf. What do you think the problem is here? Because he was the perfect foil to Sebastian Driussi.
Yeah. I think it's a mentality shift that I've seen, and I've seen a physical change in Diego's body, and that's going to happen any given year where it's so hard to maintain that physical shape that you have. Diego was one of the fittest players on the team last year, and something a lot of people didn't give him credit for. He covered a lot of ground. He's a tireless worker. And this year, it reminded me more of the Diego Fagundes that came into Austin in 2021. He wasn't an out-and-out starter up until he scored that goal, now heralded as Den Verde, where Diego Fagundes scored the first goal in club history. And it was Thomas Pochettino not being able to start. Remember him? That mm-hmm. seems like years ago. But Thomas Pochettino not being able to start opened the door for Fagundes to really kickstart his Austin career. This season, with the new formation shift, injury problems, mental kind of, I don't even know the right word for it, but mentally, I think that's a big difference that I've seen from him. As a player, if you're not mentally there playing with that same chip on your shoulder that he brought from New England, I played against Diego early in his career, played against him when he was pissed off. That is Diego Fagundes who wants to prove a point in Major League Soccer. That's the type of player that you need back for Austin FC.
So let me ask you this, Michael, you know, because we go over this with a fine tooth comb and we know this is not a singular problem. There's multiple things going on here with injury, loss of certain players, motivation. I go back to last year and things were so good. I mean, it was a dream world. Sellout crowds, the adulation, the love of the fans going back and forth between the players, the success on the field, the results, the quality of the goals. And we all know that when those types of magical seasons occur, there are a lot of people that will then the next year, well, they might want more from the organization. Their motivation may wane a little bit. And that thing called human ego takes over. Is that potentially a part of the mentality of some of the players now after last year and maybe losing a bit of that motivation and hunger, which you just mentioned?
I don't know. It's so hard to tell. In talking with some of the players and a lot of the character guys, that passion to right the wrongs of what's happened this year is still there. You hear it in your voice. But what I've seen that is a concern is the consistency in action. Last season in 2022, there was motivation from the group and from the team and from your leaders to make a statement. I remember that, you know, the lamented MLS rankings that became, oh, Twitter bait, if you will, where Josh Wolf and his staff, they posted up, hey, here's what all the writers, here's what all the doubters, and the team was so inspired to be proving all the naysayers wrong. And that takes you a long way.
But do you really have to be motivated by Twitter? You're a professional athlete. You know,
man, it's the modern day of sports.
All right. Am I showing my age here? I'm showing my age. I'm like,
no, it's the modern day. I remember
we had nobody writing about us when we played, so it doesn't really matter. We had to jump out of a tree naked to get attention.
No, but a lot of times now players, the first thing they do is go to Twitter. It's just the generation that we live in. It's the exposure of things. When things are going great, people love you. When things are going wrong.
Well, all right. You brought something good up, Michael, and we're talking to Michael LaHood. Consistency of performance. Here's the ones that I think have been consistent, and you either add to or delete to my list. Brad Stuver, Danny Pereira, John Gallagher, Nick Lima. Outside of this group, am I missing anybody? These are the players to me that have been dependable, that you know what you're getting game in and game out. And I don't think I put too many others in that category right now.
I'd add one more. And it took him a while to get going, but I've been impressed with Adam Lundqvist and the former Houston Dynamo FC player that you know. He started to settle in And when you saw Austin FC start to get a couple of results, I think of not just in Seattle, but in that home win in Toronto, it was him getting to the end line and whipping crosses in. That's something that this Austin FC team, with Ziyasi Zardes coming in, that they're doing much more of that they didn't do last year. It's getting wingbacks to the byline and looking for service. They're not the biggest team in Major League Soccer. You don't have a Kai Kamara when he is at the Columbus Crew or some of the big target strikers in Major League Soccer that you can whip in the ball to and they'll finish with their head. They were more cutting the ball back for a trailing run of Driussi or Fagundes getting in a good spot or Maxi Ruti poaching something in inside the six. And now they've had to adapt. But Lundqvist, his play in getting forward and getting crosses in, that's been an asset to the team.
Talking to Michael LaHoud here, we're talking about Austin FC, and they've got two games with FC Dallas and Houston Dynamo coming up. And as you mentioned, those would be great games to kind of produce something special and maybe change your season, which we look at Major League Soccer in three phases: the beginning of the year, those summer months where you can potentially make some moves, and then the final denouement in the fall where you make your run for the playoffs. But nobody's ever out of it until 2 weeks, 3 weeks left in the season. So we go with that. So look, Alan Pulido and Sporting Kansas City. And I'm just going to make a point here. Pulido is back healthy, scoring goals, a part of it, finishing. He is your designated player. And again, we go to the importance of the performance of the designated player. They have to be the person or the players that separate your teams. And I'm not sure Austin FC is getting that out of Rigoni, although he has been a little bit more active as of late. Kobe Jones said on the broadcast, well, you got to give him time to adjust. I think he's had enough time to adjust, don't you?
I think it's getting to that threshold of enough time. Rigoni's showing flashes. He's a two-footed player, and I've seen him have more success actually playing on the left-hand side of that front three than on the right-hand side. I think when he gets to the right, it becomes a bit one-dimensional. When he's on the left, he can go either way. He can go left or right. There was this hope and belief that he's starting to figure it out when he gets that first goal, when he then gets that first assist, and it's looking promising. But I think sometimes the pressure of delivering at home, when you are affiliated with a Sebastian Driussi, Driussi came in and just lit the house on fire. It only took Driussi only a handful of games to get that first assist and then the first goal, even in a difficult 21 season. So that raises the bar of expectation of, hey, this is going to be the next Sebastian Driussi. It doesn't really help your cause when you're Argentinian as well and you're on the national team. Mind you, the defending world champs who recently won the World Cup, and you played with the likes of a Messi. So the expectation was going to be paramount. For Emiliano Rigoni, this is his first full preseason and first full season. I think this is a guy who would have benefited being on the team last year and coming in at the start of last year, because Austin FC, the player who they don't have, who I think is their most important player, the true leader of the team, Ruben Gabrielsen.
That's I'm glad you got to him, because that was my next question. Oh, carry on with Gabrielsen. Huge loss.
Oh, man, Glenn. This was a guy that had the most important thing that you need, not just in a backline leader, but in just a leader in your squad. Presence. He had presence of personality, presence of mind, and presence of leadership. The moments I would see him having conversations with Driussi in the locker room last year, having conversations with an Alex Ring, you really had a grasp of it was this triumvirate of those three. Driussi doing it by example on the offensive end, Alex Ring doing it in the midfield and being the figurehead, and Ruben Gabrielsen being that spiritual, almost emotional leader for the team. And in difficult places to play, he was the player that I saw come to life on the road, going to a place like Kansas City. He relished the challenge of playing against some of the best strikers in Major League Soccer. I think that void, you're starting to notice it this season.
Well, you make a great point, and that was my very next question, and you led yourself into it beautifully there, because just such a presence, composed, that sort of European feel of nothing is going to awe me or knock me off emotionally or mentally. And then with all the injuries at the back this year, you know, and I'm thinking of the types of goals that were scored off set pieces against Sporting Kansas City. Boy, a player that was missed. I'm so glad you brought that up. Well, look, we could go on here, but we're going to have to take a break. We really appreciate you coming on. We'll do it again, Michael, real soon. Thanks for your insight on Austin FC.
Thanks for having me, Glenn. Looking forward to doing it again soon.
All right. So that was Michael LaHoud. Really appreciate Michael coming on there and to give you a little bit of, you know, we're thinking ahead a little bit here on Soccer Matters with the knowledge that we got another rivalry game coming up with Austin FC. So it's good to get out in front of things and get a little beat on what's going on up there. There's a lot of pressure on the head coach, Josh Wolf, but there's a lot of things going on there that are going to have to be corrected. And the beauty about MLS is you have time to correct things. All right, we'll take a break here. LamontBrands.com for your Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. LamontBrands.com. Get down there or just go to their website, LamontBrands.com. Click on the t-shirts. They're very light cotton. They're wonderful. They're comfortable. We got the trucker hats there, Soccer Matters. I saw one of my guys who works on broadcast with me, the great David Obert, who will be a part of our radio broadcast tomorrow night wearing one of those hats. So get your t-shirts and hats. 501c charity, Snowdrop Foundation will benefit at LamontBrands.com. Stay with us. More to come. Man, I love soccer talk.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of Old Greg.
I know what you're thinking. Here comes Old Greg. He's a scaly manfish. I'm Old Greg.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of the show here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. As always, we are presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they are bilingual at 713-CALL-NOW. But they have been bringing soccer on the airwaves here to Houston, Texas, so we thank that. Personal injury attorneys, they are the best. You get in a car, boat, motorcycle, maritime, work at a construction site, maybe you work in a refinery. You got to get the best when you need a personal injury attorney, and the best is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They're going to fight for your right for compensation 24/7, nights and weekends. DaspitLaw.com. All right, final segment of the show here tonight. Really interesting. Look, I don't know if many people know, but I spent a lot of years in youth soccer and player development and thoroughly enjoyed this as probably one of the most rewarding times of my careers. So there is an affinity for keeping an eye on coaching education and coaching symposiums. There is a really good one coming up. It's called the International Coaching Symposium. It's a bunch of theory, practical sessions. It's presented by Capelli Sport and the International Soccer School. It'll take place July 7th through 9th in the Westin Galleria in Dallas. So whether you're a youth, high school, interested in the coaching aspect of the game and player development and the mental side of things, you're going to get Alan Irvine of West Ham United talking about what a team does on the game day to prepare for a Premier League game. The Econo Method is a group that has worked. Miguel Farrones with Christian Pulisic. You got Real Madrid coaches. Something special here. So I caught up with the two key men behind it, Fred Dekranian of the International Soccer School and Juan Carlos Mechia, the former pro and also worked for U.S. Soccer with Capelli Sport. All right, well, let's start with you, Fred. We're talking to Fred Dekranian. Let's just talk to you about this event, the thought process behind it, and why Dallas?
The event is interesting, came about in an interesting manner. We started when I left the university. I didn't get to learn, didn't get to do too much, and it was recruiting and games and more recruiting. So when we left and we started the company, I said, hey, let's go to Europe. Let's go see the guys and let's go to the pro clubs and, you know, go to congresses. And I realized that the club coaches couldn't do it. They told me no. I said, well, why not? They said, well, I have a tournament. I said, what about next weekend? Well, I have a league. I have another league. And so before I knew it, I realized it was a United States thing where we don't make time for ourselves in order to learn. We don't make time in order to see what the best of the best are doing. And we go down this path of just continuing to do what we do. So we decided to bring some of the best educators that we could connect with in our network and out to the United States to make it really easy for people to learn. So we started in Florida. We're year five on the project. It's been 7 years of the project. And Dallas is one of the biggest markets in the country. definitely from a talent standpoint, players are being produced. So we thought it was a great place to be. The Gary Williamson, Jim Wagner, they've been really helpful in addition to Capelli Sport in prioritizing and welcoming us into Dallas. So it should be a really cool 3-day weekend.
All right. Let me just remind everybody what this is. This is the International Coaching Symposium presented by the International Soccer School and Capelli. Practical sessions, theory, July 7th through 9th, Westin Galleria in Dallas. Look, coaches in Texas, this is in your backyard. This is a no-brainer. I'm driving up from Houston to go to this. You want to be at this. Here's how you sign up. InternationalCoachingSymposium.com. All right. You got a number of great presenters at this, Fred. Take us into a couple of them and give us a little bit of a background. And we're talking again to Fred Dekranian, who is heading up the International Soccer School and this event, the International Coaching Symposium. Fire away, Fred.
So we've got Real Madrid coming. And we have La Fabrica. So they're always exciting. It's one of the top, you know, I don't think I need to explain Real Madrid. So it's one of the top clubs in the world, and they're coming to share what they do and how they do things. We also have Mikael Bunel from Le Havre. Le Havre just got promoted to League One. It's one of the top pro academies in the world, one or two in France, the home of Pogba, Mendy, Mahrez, Mandanda, Payet. So they do a really, really nice job producing players. Last year, I believe they sold two players, one to City, one to Lyon. I think they grow 17 million on those two transactions. So Mikael is coming to talk about perception and field intelligence. We also have Alan Irvine from West Ham United. And I told you yesterday when we were talking, Alan gave last year one of the best presentations I've ever seen in my life. And I got to see the late Gerard Houllier, who up to that time was the best. And Alan gave a presentation, and he will replicate and do the same presentation in Dallas. It's Premier League match preparation. So he's a former manager for West Brom, Norwich, Premier League manager. He worked as the director at Goodison Park for Everton. He's a top guy and an amazing person. And he will do a UEFA Pro A license level crash course on match analysis, what his processes are and what he likes to do. And then the second half of it, he'll show film that he showed the boys at West Ham. And you know, a couple of days ago, or it was yesterday, West Ham won the Europa Conference League. And he does all of the match preparation for them, all the game analysis and preparing. So it's really cool. The Premier League is one of the top leagues in the world, and what we see a lot of, at least I watch it a lot. So to see both and watch is a really cool presentation. We also have Ikono. So the Ikono Coaches Academy are coming. They are a top consultancy firm in the education space in Europe. They go in and revamp federations. They also work with clubs. They work with individual players. Christian Pulisic is a client. And they have developed their own methodology that they'll share and present. And they're very, very detailed. So really, really good people. We're super excited. The people we bring over, their character matches their quality. So if a coach, you know, whether it's a MLS Next coach or an ECNL coach or a club coach or a high school coach, whoever it is, a college coach, it doesn't matter who you are. When you walk into the room, they're willing to help and share. And I think one of the coolest things for me, and I hope I'm not talking too long, one of the coolest things for me was I picked Alan up from the airport in Orlando last year when he came to present. And he said, "Fred, I'm so excited." I said, "Wow, that's great. I'm excited too." I said, "Alan, what are you excited about?" He said, "I'm so excited to learn from everyone here." And for one of the best people in the room to have that, it was a really cool learning moment for me in the car. So I hope we can share this with everyone else that decides to join us.
Fred, this is super exciting. Look, and again, I'll just say this to coaches in Texas and in the area. This is a can't miss. And some of the topics you just brought up, it's got me wanting to get up there and listen to them too. And I'm going to do that. Again, it's July 7th through 9th, Westin Galleria in Dallas, right here in Texas. It's the International Coaching Symposium put on by International Soccer School and Capelli. internationalcoachingsymposium.com to sign up. And I'm looking forward to getting up there to not only meeting you in person, but also to see my great friend Juan Carlos Mejia, who is with Capelli Sport. He's an ambassador for them. He's worked with U.S. Soccer, former pro, excellent player. Juan Carlos joins us now. Juan Carlos, how are you?
Good morning, Glenn. How are you? Thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, it's great to have you and Fred on. This is a really exciting event. The more I'm listening to Fred, the more excited I get about the presentations and the practical sessions and the theory that's going to be presented. Capelli gets involved with this. It seems pretty much a no-brainer to me.
Well, when I started 2 years ago with Christian Gonzalez, which is Luchi Gonzalez's brother, I told him, you know, which way we can go in the future, you know, education, ID, and whatever. And you know very well, because we knew each other for many years, you have to be around good people. And the good people. And Fred is a good people. So it's good to work with those guys who wants to help and also the owners. And I'm so happy to be involved in this project. I know Fred for years. He's always trying to find ways to give more information to coaches. It doesn't matter the level. And Capelli feel the same way. And I'm glad to have our owner who believe in that. And he support in education. And I'm always feel, you know, if you make it in Dallas, you can make it in any place.
Juan, tell me a little bit more about Capelli and their entree into the scene of soccer in this country. I mean, obviously, you're into these types of events that are certainly highly educational. You're very selective, obviously, going with Fred's group here, with all these great coaches in from Real Madrid and Alan Irvine from West Ham United, Luchi Gonzalez. But tell us a little bit about Capelli for maybe those who don't know about Capelli.
Well, we are a very young company, but now we have over 500 clubs around the country. We sponsor, we give them uniform. But the good thing about them is, or us, is we try to do something for the clubs. We have this education program, and also we have an ID program. Chris Da Silva is in charge of that. He used to play in a Metro Star. It was in the Soccer Federation for years. I know him for 30-something years. I used to play with his father when I retired in Paris, New Jersey. So I know he means well. And we're trying to put together a couple group of players under 17 and 19 from the Capelli Club and take them to Denmark. This is going to be the third year we're doing it. And it's been working well because last year, one of the players from Tampa ended up signing a contract for the second division team in Germany. So for what you see, Capelli is trying to get all the clubs around the country and also in Europe. Capelli owns, you know, a couple of clubs over there. And we find a way just to give opportunity to our players to have a chance to play there. So, and again, we're lucky to have, you know, a guy, the owner, who supports this program. And I'm looking forward just to go again to Denmark in a couple months.
He's so, Juan Carlos Mejia, Capelli Sport Ambassador. We're also talking to Fred Dekranian, the International Coaching Symposium presented by the International Soccer School and Capelli. It's coming up July 7th through 9th, Westin Galleria in Dallas. I'm driving up to Houston. I know I'm going to get to see both of you guys. I'm excited about that. But I'm going to tell you, I'm really excited to hear some of these presentations as well. If you want to sign up, you're a coach, continue to educate yourself. It never stops. I'm not telling you anything. It's internationalcoachingsymposium.com. internationalcoachingsymposium.com to sign up for this event. And Juan, you guys, you know, you mentioned it. You want to work with honest people, quality people. This type of an event for you is very, very important when it comes to Capelli.
Yes, yes, very much. And also, it's good to have you involved because we know each other for years and we respect each other. And that's the way it should go. I don't see any other way. And I'm so happy just to have again this opportunity to talk to you and your people in Houston, because like you said before, it's a no-brainer. You can go over there for 3 days and talk about soccer, watch good activities, get good information. And also, for me, the best thing, you're going to meet good people. And in soccer, we have so many good people. So looking forward to see you in a few weeks.
That will happen for sure. And by the way, I'll remind you here, you will be able to mix with these coaches. Okay, these guys are all very approachable. That's the other beautiful thing about this. Okay, one more time I'm going to tell you about it. It's the International Coaching Symposium, July 7th through 9th, Westin Galleria, presented by the International Soccer School in Capelli. It's one not to miss here in the state of Texas. InternationalCoachingSymposium.com to sign up. Fred Dekranian, thank you so much for coming on. Juan Carlos Mechia, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
All right, that does it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. You can always get the podcast of this show at hornfm.com, and also subscribe. Do me a favor. Subscribe at Spotify, Apple, and Google. By the way, that coaching symposium, if you want information or to sign up, internationalcoachingsymposium.com. But a big thank you to Fred Dekranian and Juan Carlos Mechia. Each and every week, we bring you Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We will move to Thursdays next week. That's going to be our home base. I'm excited about the new time. We got Gold Cup coming up to Houston. We got Manchester United and Real Madrid coming here. There's so much going on. I remind you to get your Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats to benefit the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. You get them at LamontBrands.com. That's LamontBrands.com. Big thank you to Andrew Carlson, Brian McDonald, Guillermo Lazo Romero, and all that contribute to this show, and especially you, the listener. Thank you for keeping me on the air. I'm Glenn Davis. Until next Thursday night, remember, soccer matters.
You've been enjoying ESPN 97.5. Time for you to tell a friend about this place.
What is this place?